Mother's Day, each of your mothers, younger or older. Pick it up, Proverbs 31, verse 10. Who can find a virtuous woman? For her price is far above rubies. The heart of her husband does safely trust in her, so that he shall have no need of spoil. She will do him good and not evil all the days of her life. She seeketh wool and flax and worketh willingly with her hands. She is like a merchant's ships, she bringeth her food from afar. She riseth also while it is yet night and giveth meat to her household and a portion to her maidens or her servants. She considereth the field vile, with the fruit of her hand she planteth a vineyard. She girdeth her loins with strength and strengtheneth her arms. She perceiveth that her merchandise is good, her candle goeth not out by night. She layeth her hands to the spindle, and her hands hold the distaff. She stretcheth out her hand to the poor, yea, she reacheth forth her hands to the needy. She is not afraid of the snow for her household, for all her household are clothed with scarlet. She maketh herself coverings of tapestry, her clothing is silk and purple. Her husband is known in the gates when he sitteth among the elders of the land. She maketh fine linen and selleth it, and delivereth girls unto the merchant. Strength and honor are her clothing, and she shall rejoice upon the heaven. She openeth her mouth with wisdom, and in her tongue is the law of kindness. She looketh well at the ways of her household, and eateth not the bread of idols. Her children arise up and call her blessed. Her husband also, he praises her. Many daughters have done virtuously, but thou excellest them all. Favor is deceitful and beauty is vain, but a woman that feareth the Lord, she shall be praised. Give her the fruit of her hands, let her own works praise her in the gates. Amen. The word of the Lord. Let me pray. Father, we come to this passage, we come to these great truths, remembering that all Scripture is given by inspiration of God. Lord, let us not look at it as though it's just familiar, but that it is precious in speaking and preaching today the glories of God in your word to God. Thank you, Lord, for each of the mothers. Thank you for the sisters in the faith. Speak to us now. At this time, shepherd your flock and magnify your name. For the glory of Jesus Christ, we ask. We're coming up on our 17th year as a church. 17 years we've been meeting within a month or so. And through the years, I have never spoken on the topic of motherhood on Mother's Day. Now, somebody might think, now, wasn't it 3 years ago you spoke on Hannah? But that was because I was doing a series in the Old Testament, and in God's providence, we landed on Hannah on Mother's Day. And I remember Shane, probably remembers the same thing. It was in that transition period. So I've never spoken on the topic of Mother's Day. Now, Matt has once or twice. I have to ask him, but I know I can remember at least once, maybe a second time. But I don't think Leader Jeff had ever spoken on it. So I'm thinking this could be in season, according to the will of God, his purpose for his church. A month ago, I didn't even plan on speaking on this topic. 1 month ago, it's not even on my heart. But then something happened. I was gripped in reading the legacy of Hudson Taylor's mom in the mid-1800s. Most of you know that when Tim Conway held this book up at the conference a month ago, and he commended this one in volume two, this is volume one, on the life of Hudson Taylor. So, by God's grace, I picked up both copies and I was able 2 weeks ago to read volume one. And when I was beginning the first chapters, it lays the groundwork for how Hudson Taylor was raised. And her influence, Mrs. James Taylor, Amelia, she was so impactful in his life that what he became moved. I couldn't just read through those chapters without being struck. So it really stirred my heart. And I asked the other elders if perhaps I could speak on this topic today. out sisters and mothers. What I want to speak on today is not intended to be a rigid list of do's and don'ts. That's not my motive at all. In one sense, I'm staying high level. I hope today will stay with you. If I just went through a rigid list of do's and don'ts, you would probably be overwhelmed as a mom. You might go home discouraged and you're probably frustrated with me. And that's not what I want to do at all. Nor do I want to give some lighthearted pep talk. Those will happen all over America today and they'll fade away by tomorrow. They'll happen all over this country today. Life, shallow, trite stuff about mom. It will happen today. That's not my intent. Today, from my heart, this is a loving admonition and encouragement to all you mothers that you can leave a lasting legacy for your children. That's the theme of today, a lasting legacy. And for your children, for those of you who have little bitty ones, may this be a comfort, a joy, a blessing to you as you labor. For those of you who have those whose children are beginning to move into adult years, may this be an encouragement to you. Yes, by the grace of God, in your own way, you can have a lasting legacy. Note I said, in your own way. Each of you are individual. Each of you are different. Each of you are gifted. Your labor and your... just your style. Who you are. How you mother your children. But each of you can and will leave a legacy by God's grace. It is so evident when you read the Bible. It's so evident when you read biographies. You read about godly moms, godly fathers who impacted their children. And that is exactly what Mrs. Amelia Taylor did in the life of Hudson Taylor, starting in the 1830s when he was a little boy, the first of their children. So you moms, just like her in the daily flow of life, you can and will impact your children for generations to come. There are things you're laboring in now, sister, that are so far-reaching you have no grasp, really. But they're faithful, and they're true, and they're God-appointed. And it's God in you, teaching sons and daughters the way of Christ Jesus, a worldview that's based upon the kingdom of God. What our lives do you spend on? There is nothing small, insignificant about a godly woman's labor for her children. Ever. Ever. How could you ever treat this subject trite and trifle? So today I would like to mention five areas that you can leave a lasting legacy. And I'm going to draw, obviously, from some quotes out of this book that maybe will be a joy and blessing to you like it works for you. I'm by no means going to try to deal with all of the verses we just read through in Proverbs 31. But I would like to mention a few of them. First, mom's influence through their resourcefulness. Moms truly influence and impact their children through their resourcefulness. Now this is a practical area, but it's biblical. It's loaded in Proverbs 31. Go back to verse 15. Resourcefulness. She riseth also while it is yet night and giveth meat to her household. Let me be the first to say for the moms. This is not emphasizing getting up in the middle of the night. That'd be the wrong takeaway. You have plenty of those, right? I don't have to tell you to do that. It's going to happen. It's already happened. Friday night, if you're handling you up in the night, it happens. But the point here and the thrust here in the teaching in these verses that lead up to verse 15 and then how it's stated in verse 15 is that a woman is resourceful in how she manages provides for her household. She's, if you want to say this, she's in control or she's guiding the affairs, guiding things in her home so that she's resourceful. She makes uses of means. She makes preparation. And she sees the needs of her family and she meets it. It's so practical. It's so biblical. It's so beautiful. That to be resourceful, sisters, is a part of you running and managing the affairs and the cares of the home. Look at verse 13. She sees wool. and flax, and she works willingly with her hands, verse 14. She's like the merchant ships. She bringeth her food from afar, or, in your case, the store, 2 miles or 12 miles away. She bringeth in provision. She is a woman who walks with God, and she's resourceful in what God gives her to manage. It's biblical, it's powerful, it's influential. She's ready. Just say she's ready. She's planned ahead. And she can provide for everyone. There's always needs in the home, right? Hey, Mom, what about this? Mom, this. Do you know where this is? How about this? You might even say, use this phrase, she is absolutely prepared for whatever comes her way. I mean, she is ready. She's resourceful. See, I'm not going to try to fill in the blank on how you do that. It's just a biblical grace that can be in your life to mark the character of who you are and what boys and young girls learn from their mom. And they take it into the rest of their life. They see their mom being resourceful. The China Inland Mission, let me fast forward to Hudson Taylor, in so many ways wouldn't have been what it was without Hudson Taylor being grounded in this principle of being resourceful. You would have to be blind to read a book like this and miss that. He talks about it. He reflects about it. God equipped him in the little small things in day-to-day life for being resourceful. Now, each of you ladies, you're unique, and you do this in your own creative way. I've watched my wife with her 35-plus years of parenting do all kinds of creative things. Learn from other women. Learn from books. Learn from research. But this area of being resourceful, you ladies do the same. Y'all learn from each other. Sometimes I come over to my business, and I get to do the pastoral visit. I just take in some of the ways you manage the care and provisions for your home. It's fascinating. It's God honored. There are unique ways, sisters. You can and continue. We'll continue to do this. Be open to other ideas. Be open to what flows in the pattern of your stream, in your day, in your resources. Meal planning and food storage. Krista gets to make all these meals and freeze them and prepare ahead for us. All kinds of mixes and things that we're resourceful. Not to mention economic, because there was a certain economy in buying in bulk. And you see, that's just a principle there. Money management and purchasing your budget. You different ladies and how you go out and provide and bring things in and have resources available. Medical supplies and care for the sick. Very few people in my house, with my 6 children that are grown up and 2 which are still growing up, ever come ask me where the medical supplies are. I mean, dad's not going to be much help, right? But man, they get a cut or a hurt or a wound or a burn or something like that. No mom is who they want. Because she's resourceful. She cares for them. She is there. She's available. She mends the wound, cares for the wound. How about extra bedding and supplies? When there's a cold front comes in, there's a need for bedding and provision and care for the family, and care for hospitality and those who are there. Their needs, the items that would benefit them. You see that, the principle here? She arises quietly at night. She giveth me. She's ready to provide. She's ready to care. Yes, food and things like that. But it's bigger than just that. It's not just about food and taking care of those in that way. And beloved, such resourcefulness can and does shape a child's character. It is. It's an investment in their character. They learn how to be stewards with what they have. They learn how to be resourceful. They learn how to make the most out of things. They learn how to make things go further, right? You will read biographies, and certainly in different centuries, and different women, godly women, and how they make the most unto God. They were just careful. Hudson Taylor learned this from his mom. And he carried this into his missionary life. Hudson Taylor was responsible as the years went by for so much care in so many practical ways. Housing and medical needs and food. Just he was shepherding his family. He was shepherding Christians, new Christians, converts that were being brought into Jesus Christ that were Chinese people. And he taught them things. But he learned it from his mom. so many of these areas. He was careful. He was really prudent with his resources. The brother lived off of hardly anything, yet he could make things last, and he was ready to care for others. Hudson Taylor reflected back in his years, and he realized, my mom taught me so many things to equip me to faithfully love her the gospel. You see, beloved? You see how practical helpful this is? Listen to some of this. This is Hudson Taylor remembering how his mom ran the home. She had a big family room. She had a big family sitting room. She had different things and different provisions and different preparations made for the need of her family and visitors that would come in to be with her. Hudson says, or the family writing, it says, in the family sitting room, the chief feature in the room undoubtedly was the bookcase. Now, we could think of it as just where you put books, but it was a storage area. And here, I'll continue on. And it had also much to do, it had so much to do with the order that prevailed. Over the lower shelves hung a curtain, concealing a characteristic device of the mother's household management. Everything in use for meals or lessons, work or play, had its appointed place in sideboard or cupboard, while magazines, books, and papers found hospitality upon the ample shelves. She had provision for so many things, reading, learning, food, sewing, preparation. But one shelf behind the crimson curtain was inappropriate, meaning it was set aside for special needs. Clean and empty or ready to store things, it stood ready for emergencies. Now, not what we would think is emergencies in terms of some sort of catastrophe. Emergencies are things that would come up unexpectedly. Mrs. Taylor was ready. Simple as such a plan may seem, it was effective because of the orderly mind that carried it out, and went far towards solving the problem of how to turn one room to so many uses without litter or confusion. Hudson Taylor learned from his mom, and he carried this forward in his labors in the gospel. She was resourceful. He learned resourcefulness. Second, like I said, I'm going to cover five areas. Mom's influence through their diligence. I'm going to put it in parentheses. Hard work. Go back to verse 21. She is not afraid of the snow for her household, for all her household are clothed with scarves. She diligently works for their good. Literally, in the context of this text, she prepares garments, she makes clothing, she makes jackets, she's preparing things for the family, she's mindful of those things. My mom probably could have helped me if she was still here and told me to take a bigger coat for her. Because there's needs that arise. The children are young, they're inexperienced. They need somebody to look after them. And a mom, being is not afraid, she's diligent, and she's about the work of preparing for them, providing their practical needs day by day. I mean, this entire proverb is full of this theme of diligence, right? You will hear often, if you hear John MacArthur, somebody expand on verse by verse, how much of it's dealing with a godly woman or a Christian woman's diligence in her labor, her work ethic. It just jumps off the page as you did. When I was reading those early chapters on Hudson Taylor's childhood, his mom and his dad, I could do an equivalent of his teaching or sharing on Father's Day. His mother and her diligence and her steadiness, her constant diligence in that, was shaping him and shaping his brother and shaping his sister and impacting their lives. It seemed. Meaning the children, the husband, visitors, it seemed. You ladies moving and working and providing and doing, it's seen, it should be seen. It should be visible. It should impact the children. They should rise up and call her blessed and thank her because her labor is so helpful, absolutely critical to everybody in the household. It influences the way children think of their own work ethic. It should. When they see the labor of their mom. You talk about multitasking. Moms are the case study. Forget about corporate executives and senior managers and hotshot business guys. Just throw that out. That's a joke. Well, if you put those hot shots and make them run a family with children, no matter what the ages are, no matter how many boys versus girls, if they look into your world and see what you're managing, you're multitasking at an unbelievable level by God's grace. Sometimes you'll say, a husband might say to his wife, there's just no way I can keep all this happening, everything happening, right? Moving, dealing with young ones and this, and put that up, and something's warming up in the oven. Things are happening. She's diligent. She's about work. God gives her grace in her work. The gospel is coming forth in her work. Jesus Christ went about doing good. He was about the kingdom. He was laboring. People in the faith labor. There's a God-honored purpose in it all. And for moms, of which this world, hang with me here, this general society in America today treats it as though it is not only secondary labor, it is a joke. It's a day. Well, I got news for them. It's as God honoring as it comes. You read your text. How God is pleased in the labor and the activities and the holiness of women who give themselves to this. She is the laborer, truly. She is carrying multiple things. And her household is clothed and provided for. Jesse asked me, I hadn't read it out of NASB this morning. Since about what the clothing she would make. She's just preparing and providing for the family constantly. Listen to these phrases. She seeketh. She worketh willingly. She bringeth. She planteth. She layeth her hands. She maketh. Pretty good activities there, right? She is about good, faithful things that help everyone. It's such a blessing, such a testimony of grace in your lives, and so impactful for sons and daughters. I have flashbacks to my mom, certain things she did, certain things that I would watch her do, especially when I was a little boy. This is the first Mother's Day that Chris and I have had mothers. So there's a deep reflection over things. You see patterns of life as a little boy or a little girl, and then they begin to influence you. God has to get influenced. Hudson Taylor was not a self-made man in that sense, right? The grace of God and the means of people in his life is what shaped him to labor so faithfully and fruitfully in China. Incredible. You can say the same thing about Spurgeon. We can pick other men of that. What their moms did to impact them. Yes, to your moms, your diligent labor testifies to your children that faithful labor is good. It's right. The passage has nothing to do with your laziness. These verses speak of good, hard, faithful labor that God has a blessing on. And Hudson Taylor learned this from his mom. Some really key things that you'll see page after page when you read the biography. They learned diligence in daily chores. Boy, by this time, children, oh no, it's unique daily chores. Yes. Mrs. Taylor had her children do daily chores. Now, in their day compared to our day, you talk about running a tight ship. And yet there was just such love and tenderness there. But daily chores, Hudson Taylor learned about daily chores. I've worked vocationally through the years with some men, I think, did they learn anything about practical disciplines? Sloppy. Careless, forgetting things, not writing things down. Oh, really? Did you just think that magically at 20 or 30, those things are just going to come to life? You're trained in them. You're trained in them. These things are real. Punctuality. Where's Bob Jennings? To smile, right, Linda? Bob Jennings said, yes, brother. Punctuality. Their mom taught them this. Their dad was an absolute rigid man of punctuality. And Hudson Taylor learned carefulness or the caution of being wasteful. Don't be wasteful. Thoroughness. Mrs. Taylor told her children to be thorough, to do things thoroughly. She wasn't bullying them. She wasn't bossy or rude. She was teaching them to be thorough. She taught them to concentrate. These are things of diligence. These are things of labor, things of advancing, things of being fruitful, things of going on. That's what Hudson Taylor gleaned from his mom. Let me read a quote here. "These may seem trivial details, scarcely worth reading." Somebody listening today here outside might think, come on, these are trivial. But it is just such little habits that in the long run strengthens character and makes all the difference between weakness and power to do and to be one's best. Hear that? Her diligence, your diligence, sisters, as moms, as women, in your home, running your home, even if you don't have children yet, obviously this completely all applies to you women of faith, godly women. These things that you're about influence others and certainly impact your children's life. It can make a huge difference in what's ahead for them. May God help in this area of being diligent. Third, mom's influence through your teaching. So the first two are more practical. They're practical in the day-to-day cares of life, right? Resourcefulness and diligence. Being careful with means and providing, looking ahead and providing, and diligent and labor and preparation, and being able to expand the needs or the care of needs in the family. These are practical, but the third one. Mom's influence through teaching. Go back to verse 26. She opens her mouth with wisdom. She opens her mouth with wisdom. The very first proverb says something similar to children. About a mom. Verse 8. Yes. The proverb writer said, "My son, hear the instruction of thy father. Forsake not the law or the commands or the teachings of your mother." She is a teacher. Now I'm not talking about necessarily, we're talking about just an academic thing. We're talking about life. Teaching your children life. We're talking about from the beginning when they're born until however God takes them, they launch out. Teaching constantly a godly woman, a Christian mother, is constantly teaching her sons and daughters. She opens her mouth with wisdom, with teaching, with instruction, with about things about the kingdom of God and this life, and what's ahead, how to conduct oneself, what really matters. She puts things in perspective. Her words really matter. Words. We're going to read. We're going to study through a book, starting tonight with the men, and starting this week with the women. We're going to start a book that deals with words. God speaks, right? And Jesus Christ came. He spoke, the Son of God. And a mom speaks. She's constantly speaking because she's investing so much into the lives of her children, day after day, hour after hour. Her words matter. The reality of this can never be overstated. This may be the most helpful thing to you, sisters, today when you leave, is just realize how precious it is that words that correct, words that comfort, words that talk about big things and words that deal with small practical matters, but they all matter. Cannot overstate it. The day-to-day lives of a mother with her children have countless words, sentences, and topics that you're going to cover with your children. Think of this. Moms give instructions. They give encouragements. And they give corrections. I mean, if I just, sometimes after the meeting, hang out in the hall, or if I just come out to the player, where y'all are outside, you ladies, all of these things are happening nonstop, right? You're not finished with a word of encouragement and you're given a word of correction, especially with multiple children, right? It's a never ending. God has this. God has purpose in this. Don't feel like it's just the grind of life. It feels like that, but it's bigger than that. Truth and shaping of lives is happening in those moments. child that does something right, that is in comfort and encouraged, built up, that impacts them. A child that does something wrong and has to be corrected, has to be brought back into the proper place. There is redemptive grace in those kinds of things. Your words matter, sisters. All of our words matter. She opens her mouth to wisdom. Moms read scripture. Moms sing hymns. Moms pray. We were preparing for my mom's funeral. One of the young pastors of the church in Spartan wanted me to tell her about things that I remember that were special to me about my mom. And I said, I always felt like the household was really, really good when mom would every dinner would go and play a piano. She didn't do that very often. She would sing sometimes as she played. Reading scripture, singing hymns, and praying. These are words, sisters. These are opening your mouth with wisdom. How practical, and yet how phenomenal in the impact on sons and daughters. Reading the Word of God, singing the songs of God, and praying to the one great God and Savior Jesus Christ. From the mom, from a mom's lips. Moms tell stories of God's grace, His power, and His love. Go with me. Feel how precious this is? Words. Opens her mouth with wisdom. I was finishing some notes while I was getting some break work done on my project and flashed a TV screen in one of the main morning programs. And they were doing something on Mother's Day. It was all I could do to not laugh in front of the 8 or 10 people around me and say, that's it? You've got to be kidding me. So superficial what they were focused on. So dishonoring to the role of being a mother. You talk about missing the main things. And I'm thinking about women read the scriptures to their sons and daughters, and they sing the hymns, and they pray with their children. What a great God that brings us into this reality. Telling the stories of God's grace and His redeeming love through His Son. His sons and daughters, little eyes, little ones that missed it, the mom. And they're listening day after day. Yes, they hear us when we mess up. Oh, yes, they do. But the general thrust of all that we're about is the kingdom of Jesus Christ, right? That's what shapes what we're about. It's who we are. We're in Him. We move in Him. We live in Him. It's His songs that we sing. It's His truth that we hold to. It's His warnings that we take heed to. So the children are listening. They're absorbing these things. So powerful. So needed. Such fresh grace today to just encourage any and every woman, mom, particularly in this room today, that just ask the grace of the Holy Spirit to take your words, your songs, your stories, take them and give fresh reality to your family. That your sharing and your teaching will be such a powerful tool that God uses in your life. Sisters, it's not Google or Twitter or Facebook that your children need to teach. Okay? It's not Google or Twitter or Facebook that your sons and daughters need to teach them. Quite the contrary. Your children need a godly woman and a godly man to teach them the great truths of all of life and humanity and purpose and love and sacrifice and living and dying. What's ahead? Why am I here? Who made me? Who made the planets? Why do I see insects or the great waterfalls? Because of the great God. That's what they need to hear from you. What does it mean to fall in love? What does it mean to be pure? What does it mean to have children? Moms and fathers are these messengers into their life because they represent this. They speak the truths of God to their children. They open their mouth with wisdom. Oh, children, listen to your moms when they talk to you. You little boys, you young men, listen to your moms. Because God says to, and God will speak to you, and God will train you, and God will impact you. it would be so limited to talk about Hudson Taylor's life and not remember the legacy of his mom and his life. You getting it? Just phenomenal. If I had lost the book after 100 or 120 pages, I would be immensely blessed and I'd be going further. Never got into China. Never seen what was going to happen. Just to read the first 100 pages can change your life. You hear me? Oh, to God that we as men and women would rise up and live in such a way that the generation that we're laboring for will go on to Him. You have such opportunities, sisters. May God encourage you to give you joy today. Build you up in this truth. That as you open your mouth, there will be wisdom, there will be truth. And there's going to be hard things, there's harder topics that we have to help our children with. We have to correct them with. Needless to say, Brother Hudson Taylor had it. His mother speaking and singing and teaching and speaking into his life shaped his worldview and his life calling. Listen to the just an afternoon in the Taylor home about 170 years ago. 170 years plus. Then in the afternoon, their mother had the older children with her while she was busy with her needle. A great deal of sewing had to be done. But she was able to go on with it while they read aloud or wrote from dictation. Now picture this. Here's mom multitasking. She's nurturing and speaking to the children and having them read and working with them on stage while she's got her hands to attach. Listen to what it said. Many were the hours thus spent over history, literature, and travel. Hard names with unfamiliar words they might not hurry over. No, the dictionary had to be brought out and each difficulty mastered as they came to it. Well, that sounds like mine. No. We're not going to jump past that. We're going to learn why is this? You have to learn these things. And Mrs. Taylor was teaching her sons and her daughters. She was a real lover of books herself. She early inspired them with a taste for reading. See, sisters, how practical. And to her accuracy and her thoroughness, listen to this, may be traced the unusual power of attention to detail that characterized her son Hudson in his labor. Her accuracy and her thoroughness in the things she taught him, equipped him in. Probably even in the context of these days where they sat there in the room with their mom, just learning from her. Listen to this. And then in another section of the book, it says this. Mother's sweet voice made him singing in the light. No talks. Listen to this. No talks were like her talks over the Bible. Not to speak of Pilgrim's Progress and other great works. Yes, home was home indeed, and the nearest place to heaven, because it held that mother. It held that mother in whose heart was set abroad the very love of God. You think, sisters, when you're having those moments, you're making the gospel of Jesus Christ not only real to your children, but precious. You ladies, you make Christ precious when you sing His songs, speak on Him, speak from the Scriptures, and speak into your children's lives, His gospel. Fourth, moms influence through their nurturing. You could say caring. So we've had resourcefulness and diligence, and now we've had teaching, and now nurturing. Verse 27, first part. She looks well, looketh well to the ways of her household. She looks well. What a phrase. Isn't that a beautiful statement? She looks well. Remind me what the ESV said on that before the King's Prayer. Thank you. She has her household to care for. And her you want to call it her prevailing view is that she's constantly viewing towards caring for them. She looks well. She takes it so seriously. precious to her. No wonder unconverted men dump their kids when they're little. If they ever learn how to live, they dump their kids off, uninterested in mothering, uninterested in training them, uninterested in their future. If they don't know the one great Savior of God, what are they interested in? This. Does that sound painful or harsh? It's the truth. It is the truth. Oprah Winfrey does not have anything to offer here for women, in my opinion. Never has. How can she teach women what really matters if she doesn't know Jesus Christ? Right? How can she nurture properly if she doesn't know the one great Savior in God? I'm not discounting that mothers impact their kids today, but they don't in a redemptive way. Fine. Teach them to be scholars in engineering. Teach them to be scholars in music. For what? For their own glory? So they can go out and make a fool of themselves or make money for their own purposes? And at the end of it all, Jesus Christ, when they stand before him, says, Depart from me. I never knew you. I don't know you. It's real, beloved. To nurture and to teach your children in the ways of God means he is the main thing. And therefore, that's you're constantly looking after their welfare in that capacity. I don't expect the women of the world, the women on main TV, to say these things. How can they? It's the grace of God that can bring them into Christ. Not trying to be harsh against them at all. Being honest. Ungodly parents teach their children ungodly things. Godly parents teach and nurture their children in the things of God. It's biblical. It's right. It's radical. Radical by today's movement, right? In today's society. To look well to the ways of your household. That's her heart, that's her focus, that's her delight. That's what she rejoices in. Yes. There's long days and long nights. Yes. Fatigue. Difficult hours, difficult weeks, hard times. I know. Krista was a parent at 18 years old. I was all of 20. I turned 56 years old yesterday. I understand. I've got children at home. I've seen her labor. I've seen her tears. I've seen her give herself. I understand these things. They are not theories. They are theories in their own way, but they're real and they're tangible and they're practical. And they're impactful, without a doubt. When the children know that she looks well or she's looking after their kid, one way or another, in their own mind and in their own heart, they realize mom is giving everything for them. Sisters, remember, you nurture your children through so many ways. You nurture them. You care for them in their sickness. I used to tell a story when the kid was a little bitty. I said, what's one of those viruses that she had? Swine flu. She had rickets. I told this story before, and there in our big room, Michaela's just limp in the floor for like 3 days. It's hard even to be liquid down. You know who was pretty much there for 3 days on the floor? It wasn't me. That lady over there. Gladly. Just laying on the floor. Ministry, loving her, caring for her. It was a kind of scary time. Yet, God was gracious to give Michaela health and mercy there, and gracious to her mom to love her. You ladies did this. I know you did. I admire you. Oh, man. What gospel comes from your lives, sisters? Don't let anybody in this world diminish what you're about. You have a great Savior and a great gospel and a great role as a mom. Man, turn ESPN and all the other garbage off of the day. Listen to some truth. Come on, America, wake up. Unbelievable. The greatest and the most precious things are acted as though they don't even exist anymore. Give kids devices and toys and gadgets and games, perverted things, and they're gone. Where'd the children go? They're on some cyber thing from here on. We're not talking about reading scripture and books and singing hymns and things. And you realize how many millions of people we've ever close by would say, what in the world is he? They pull you aside, Philip, and they say, can you tell me what they got? What century is he in? I'm in the 21st century, glad for you. And I'm talking about a God who's eternal in things. And this is eternal. This is the way of life, right here. Nurturing your children, sickness, disappointments, school struggles. Man, I couldn't read well as a kindergarten. My mom got with me and drilled me reading when I was 6 and 7. I was 6 and 7 year old trying to learn to read better. My dad, with tears in his eyes, said, "Working with work, me and another boy tied in first grade for reading the most books." And think what's going through my mind. I can learn to read. I can do better. Started reading. Started getting better. School struggles. Injuries. I broke my hand playing baseball at shortstop. Guy slid under the base, snapped that bone, and broke that bone right here. I knew something was wrong. I was 11. We were in the championship series. Now I was 12, because I was 12. And I knew that. You know who knew something else was wrong? Not the umpires, not my dad, not the indoor coaches, not the fans. A lady over there on that bleacher, looking through that fence, she knew something was wrong. We got out of the inning. I'm so glad nobody hit that ball that way again. It's having a level there. We go to the hospital that night. It's broken. She knew it. Mom knew it. She was the most interested in my injury. Forget the store. You see, beloved, you see how life permeating this is? You see what preparation is happening in the lives of young boys and young girls? Age transitions. It's a nice way of saying going from childhood to adult. Difficult, hard. You young people, what you have to face in an evil world and all the other horrible things. Moms are so incredible in helping their children through age transitions. Yes, moms get put out too with kids at that age. But listen to them, young people. They've been through it. They've seen a few things. Young women, if your moms are trying to help you in modesty and how to carry yourself, listen to your mom. What a blessing to have her speaking on behalf of God's word in your life. Growing to adulthood, moms are there. Moms are constantly nurturing and caring and ministering. Hudson Taylor had this from his mom. D.B. Edwards. Sometimes it seems, sisters, that in the littlest of moments, when it could be right. And then we find out as the years go by, we remember what the children remember, how big that man was. Philip reading those books. Nobody else, now it's you, we know. But nobody else remembers that story. Who knows what would have happened to me if Mom hadn't worked with me? I may have gotten behind. I may have lost any confidence to try to go on. I may have never even made it out of high school one day. You see, all of it is the kindness of God. Your mothers are instruments for Him, for good, for redemptive purposes, for the kingdom of God to go into China like never did happen because a faithful mother trained her children. Now let me share a fun story of Karen and her. That's a tender with these boys. Now Alistair's not here today. Alistair's just a meat boy. Full of life. But Hudson was probably about that age. And Hudson Taylor had a complete fascination with bugs and insects and birds and all kinds of species. If he had not been called into the gospel, he could have been amazing in a different field in his day. But he heard when once a year the fair would come through their little town, it was coming. He had heard that there was a guy bringing an exhibit of stuffed animals and insects, you know, that they put up in glass. Hudson Taylor couldn't sleep. So your children ever got excited about something like that? They can't even sleep, right? So excited. But he saved, he had a penny, not sure equivalent today. He took a penny, thought, to get in, he could get to the fair, but he could get into the special exhibit for one penny. So he thought. The day came, he's up, he's out with his penny, and he makes it to the fair. That's the only thing he wanted to do, is go and see the species. And to learn. Went up to the gentleman and handed him his penny, and he said, "Sorry, my man, it takes 2 pennies. I wish it was worth reading all the narrative on this. It's so beautiful. That's intended with his critical thinking skills. Already said, "Now, sir, I have a penny. I want to see the insects. And this is my penny. Let me in." The guy wouldn't budge. 2 pennies. Finally, Hudson relented, gave up, turned around, and ran all the way home. Ball. Now, how would Dad handle that? Dad serves you right. He'll look into it. Gonna have more than 1 penny in his life, son. No. Right, Ethan? Don't take more than a penny to get by. Not at all. Let me read. Happily, his mother found him and was able to understand. A solid little boy who's going to be one of the greatest missionaries for the glory of Jesus Christ in the history of the world. A solid little boy. That's all he is at that point. Devastated. She took him in her arms and she said quietly, Hudson, the man was doing his duty. You don't compromise on that. He didn't mean to be unkind. Everyone has to pay 2 pennies to see those lovely birds and animals. You've been so good and industrious, Mother, that Mother will give you another penny as a reward. Run off again now, and the man will be glad to let you in. Forever gone, right? Nobody cares. He would remember. A little trivial, right? Pardon. The unexpected turn of events put everything right and sent such gladness thrilling through the little heart that 70 years after, it had not happened. When Lee's been going through the attributes of God, sometimes it's in those mercy. It was 2 weeks ago that I met. The mercy, the gentleness, the nursing that Mrs. Taylor showed to that little boy then, and the perception, you want to say, to help him deal with that moment, and that he came through it the better for it. He learned the principle. Nobody cut any corners. But she was able to guide him and direct him, and he went back. And he got to experience what he is so long to experience, and remember 7 years later, what his mom had done to help him. Wish we had time just to turn everything off and go around the room. I could say Brother David Holzlander, or I could say, you know, different ones. Tell me a story of the impact that you had in the moment. They're happening today. They're going to happen on Sunday, May the 14th, 2017. Today they're going to happen with you late. May not be about a 1 penny and going to the fair, but it'll be something else. Let me close out. Number 5. Mom's influence through a lifelong devotion. Think of that for a minute. A lifelong devotion. It may have seemed like I was harsh, but the women of the world, such were I, such were you before Christ Jesus saved us, right? And there go I by the grace of God. Oprah Winfrey is a wonderful candidate to come into the kingdom of God's grace. So now, but when we talk about lifelong devotion, we talk about women who view their role or who they are as a mother, it never fully ends, right? They realize God's appointed them in their child's life for the rest of their days. It changes. It's not the same. Verse 28, verse 8, first part of that. 28. Her children rise up and call her blessed. Her children rise up and call her blessed. Saints, particularly your sisters, mom's influence lives on. It's living. It's active. It's continuing. The times and seasons and chapters are changing. But the impact of a godly mother and her being such an anchor, such a being a voice in the child's life, continues. It's phenomenal. The reality of this. Years go by. The decades go by. Children go off. They might get educated. They might marry. They might have children. Whatever is ahead, they may go to the mission field. They may die young. Moms continue to be moms. That's what God has. Fathers continue to be fathers. I fully understand that it'll be a different dynamic when they're not 7, if they're 27 or 47. I understand that. We could let Karen last and share some wonderful things with us if she was here today. It changes. The children do go into adulthood. But that doesn't mean mom becomes out of the picture forever. Again, the American picture of let's get these kids out of here so we can live it up. Where'd that come from? Think about it. The abiding love of a mom, yes or dad, the abiding love of a mom still influences them. It still keeps the tie. It keeps the connection, the posterity, the gospel. Why are we here? Why do we live? What's ahead in eternity? Those truths, in a really fascinating way, change because of what children, now they become adults, want to talk about. Want to go back and reflect on. 2 weeks ago, when Jeanette returned on her birthday, we had a cookout. I remember mentioning, I think, to the saints, and so they came over. And they stayed later. Jeanette had to leave, but Terry was there, Jake was there, Caleb was there, Benjamin. We kept talking. And I realized we're helping them look back to seasons in their life and they young, they never heard us talk about the same, right? They're listening to some of those stories. A couple, you know, my son-in-laws were asking some questions. You see how precious that is? Because all of a sudden they're thinking, wow, I didn't know mom and dad would do that. Wow, I didn't know that they faced that. Children is a lot more perfect for moms and dads than you could ever imagine. Okay? And maybe it's the only thing you heard Mr. Deedy say today. But trust me, there's a lot more than mom and dad have been through than you'll ever know. But as you get older, you'll know more of it. But cherish it now. My point is, it's a lifelong devotion. Sisters, your abiding love continues to connect to your children. And it can be a wonderful season of life with them. Phone calls, times together, trips, meeting up, texting, yes, it's allowed, check, it's okay, texting, I kind of know my pattern as a dad, when I can send my kids notes, and I know I can send them a certain note, and I'll get the older boys response than five. It's fun, it's precious, but it's their dad and their mom, you dad, your mom, kid with your sister. It's this connection. Some of you ladies are just trying to get past body training. Maybe they think they're aggressive themselves. I understand. Hang on. See Marisa. See Janet. See Krista, Linda. See some of these ladies that are, they'll get through. But while you're getting through it, who knows what second thing you're going to get your son or daughter that's going to change his life. You don't know. God has it. A lifelong devotion. The closing point of Philip being overwhelmed that I had to speak on this was when Mrs. Taylor went with us to the shipyard to see him off the chapter. Now, I'm by myself when I'm reading this, right? When I get to that section, I'm done. You know Philip, he doesn't hold it in. Because I just saw such a beautiful picture of a mother taking her son. He's going to get on the ship. He has dreamed since he was a little boy of going to China with the gospel. And she's going to let him go. And Hudson, of course, he was, he's 20, 21 years old, whatever he was. And he's strong. And he's got a great gospel of Jesus Christ and a great land to go into. He didn't know what mom was speaking. But as he got older, and he wrote about it, and he reflected about it, it's absolutely precious. He took her on the ship. Showed him where his quarters would be. As a mom, she made a few preparations for him. He escorted her off the ship. And then the scene of that ship pulling off, the mom there, puts him on the side of the ship. You'll have to read quite a bit of it. His mom wrote him letters. He wrote this parent's letter. What is my theme? Lifelong devotion here. Lifelong commitment. Lifelong connections. The bond, sisters, between you and your children should be celebrated all your life. Cultivate it and celebrate it. Stay connected. Look forward to those unique seasons of speaking into their lives at a different time when they need you in a new way. So let me close. Thank you for your patience. Your moms, your Christian moms, never underestimate the lasting legacy you can leave on your children. Don't ever underestimate it. Be encouraged. God is using you. Let me pray. Father, thank you again for the Proverbs 31. It was so beautiful, so descriptive of your women, godly women, women who are resourceful, certainly diligent. Mothers who day by day are teaching and nurturing and caring. And even as the years go by, the children rise up and they bless them all. There is a lifelong, true connection, a reality of impact with sons and daughters. Lord, may these moms today be freshly joyful in their role and have fresh courage and faith to press on, knowing that you will be with them and strengthen them, that you've given their children to them to train them, to love them, to teach them of the great God and Savior. Bless them all. May this day be full of thanksgiving unto you. Through Christ our Lord. Amen.